Welcome back to Made in March. Today is Wednesday, January 20th, and for the first time in a few episodes, we have a full crew here. All four of us are here, and we're ready to let it rip. There was some really fun basketball over this weekend.
Agreed.
But before we get into the recap, Wesley, would you like to read off the newest five-star review that someone has left for us in Apple Podcasts?
Correct, and it is from Admirals Fan, and then the title is Amazing Podcast. This pod is a must-listen if you like college buckets. No other podcast will prepare you better for March Madness and your bracket challenges. Phenomenal listen, and the guys are absolute jokesters. We really appreciate this insightful and five-star review from Admiral Fan. And and this is kind of a quick shout-out to leave more reviews on our Apple Podcasts or any Google Podcast, CastBox, anything. And,
absolutely.
I mean, you can get them right out on the show.
That's the way we operate around here. You leave us a five-star review, we'll read it out loud, we'll shout out your username, and if you want to promote yourself, promote your brand in the five-star review, hey, we respect the game.
Free promotion.
If you want to shout out like your Cash App, your Venmo, and your five-star review, you may feel free to do so, and it will be read aloud.
Hustlers are respected.
Bag Chasers United, you already know. But without further ado, should we get into the games over the weekend? Because
there were many.
Yeah.
There were many.
And that also brings us to 29 five-star reviews, so we'd like to thank you guys, but let's get that thing up to 50.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's, without further ado, obviously get into the games on Saturday. We start with 21 Ohio State going on the road to 14 Illinois, and the Buckeyes playing good basketball on the road, win 87-81.
Kind of maybe unexpected. I think Illinois was favored by, what was it, 4 points or something like that?
Yeah, and I had them to not only win, but to cover.
To cover, yeah. And
they're favored by seven.
Seven. Wow, that's pretty crazy because Ohio State was, I think, a top 25 team.
They were.
Even at this time.
Yeah, they were 21.
They were 21 at this time. So that seems, even if it's a road game in the Big Ten, a seven-point favorite seems, I don't know.
Steep.
Yeah, seems pretty steep. But Ohio State is proving their worth in the Big Ten, I would say, of recent.
Yeah, it was a battle of the big men. Both Kofi and EJ Liddell were absolutely dominant. They couldn't really stop each other.
Yeah, because Kofi is too big, and he can easily back EJ down, but then EJ takes him off the dribble and just shoots those pull-up jumpers,
yeah,
which is his game.
It is.
And he was cooking Kofi.
EJ Liddell's a beast.
He's a beast.
He's one of the best big men in the pick-and-roll situation in college.
Absolutely.
Basketball.
And he's not, like, I wouldn't say undersized, but he's like a 6'7".
He's pretty undersized.
He's undersized, but he plays bigger than his
size.
Yeah,
absolutely.
True. He does play bigger. He really does. Bigger. That's fair.
Do we want to get a quick temperature check on Illinois? Because they have five losses.
They do have five losses.
Alex, I know that they're one of your Final Four teams. I'm looking at the wall bold predictions, seeing that.
Yeah.
How do you feel about them? Do you feel that they have enough outside of Iodasumu and Kofi Coburn, who are obviously a dynamic duo?
I think they do. I just think I've been saying this for the whole year, they just need a little more production from their secondary pieces. I mean, they have a talent. Like, they've shown it.
Yeah.
Like Curbelo, Frazier, obviously they've shown sparks, but they need more.
And they don't have
Final Four.
They don't have any bad losses, but they never like step up against competition. It feels like they're always behind the ball when it comes to playing good teams. Like when they played Baylor, they look outplayed the whole game.
I actually agree with that take a lot.
So they don't play down. I don't know how to say it, but yeah, they never step up.
Sometimes they just don't come out prepared. And some teams you can fix that against, some you can't. They obviously fix it against Northwestern. That was also Northwestern imploding on themselves, if we're being honest.
and it's still continuing, that implosion.
Yeah, but then at the same time, I mean, I don't know how Adam Miller's still starting. He didn't play too bad this game, but he airballed a wide open three in last night's game too. And Curbelo has looked absolutely electric off the bench when he's gotten significant minutes. Even Grandison, I would even put over him. Grandison shooting 46% from deep. So
that's a good number.
And he's been hitting clutch threes when they needed to hit it. So I think that Adam Miller's got to get out of the starting lineup. Not to say he's a bad player, because he's not, but I think he needs to work on that player development a little bit. Then obviously Georgie Bishanashvili, he needs to step it up like
he was
the
beginning
of the year.
He hasn't been playing that many minutes this year.
Yeah.
He's averaging like 13 a game.
They have pretty much no consistent 20-plus minute bench player, which is a big issue, I would say.
And I think Bishanashvili, honestly,
deserves it.
100%.
He deserves it.
Yeah. I mean, Underwood.
Bishanashvili, I mean, I know this is a while back, but when they played Rutgers, he was kind of having his way down low with Miles Johnson.
He's physical. Yeah. He's a good rebounder. He's a good team player, and he's a spark off the bench. I mean, I don't know how, as a coach, you don't play this guy more than like 12 minutes a game. But at the same time,
I can get behind that one.
I mean, Underwood should be able to figure it out. If he doesn't, then that really is unfortunate because Illinois definitely has the talent to be a Final Four team. Then we get Pitt at home, 96-76 over Syracuse. Don't look now, but Pitt is actually a pretty good team. They're 8-2 after yesterday's win over Duke.
In a weaker ACC.
Granted.
The Zoo has been difficult to play at this year. And honestly, I like when Pitt's good.
I still think that the name The Zoo, like the nickname The Zoo for their stadium, is pretty badass if you ask me.
I would agree with that 100%. Florida State gets back to winning ways, 82-75 over UNC at home. UNC's kind of imploding again. They looked like they'd be okay and a little bit more of a bounce back season at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But the Tar Heels, Wes.
No, they suck.
Yeah.
They just suck.
They're gone.
Roy Williams is about as washed as they come. Back-to-back years, kind of, that should say
Roy it all. Might need to retire.
That should say it all.
But I heard this stat the other day, and, I mean, you guys have probably heard it as well, but this is the first time since, I believe, 1967, somewhere around that North Carolina, Duke, and Kentucky, maybe three of the most blue-blooded teams
in the
nation, are all not ranked, which is kind of wild.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Especially because I saw a stat that Duke, last time they were unranked, was February of 2016. So,
yeah.
Think about now, combine all three of those teams that have been staples for the last 30 years or whatever. It's just craziness.
I'm getting into some Mountain West action. Utah State completes a season sweep over San Diego State. San Diego State looked like they were going to bounce back from their poor performance the night before at Utah State, being up 32-22 at half. But the Aggies are rolling right now, and I think they're feeling it. They came back in the second half. Another big win at home. It's a big season sweep against a Mountain West team that's a pretty good team in San Diego State.
I think Utah State's going to get a win in the tournament with how they're playing right now. I'm confident in that.
Do you want that to be a bold prediction?
Sure.
All right. USU.
Wins the tournament game.
Wins the game in March Madness. I like that. I'm going to let you have it to yourself because it's a nice bold prediction. But let's be real. A week ago, we thought San Diego State with the cream of the crop of the Mountain West. I'm not even convinced they're number two anymore. I think Utah State is the best team in the Mountain West.
Uh-huh.
I think Boise State might be second.
I think Boise State could be first. I think they might be first.
I don't know. The way
it could
Utah
be a two-bid Mountain West.
That's what and Luke have been saying.
We got to make a note. SDSU was without their best player this game, Matt Mitchell. So
that's actually fair because
I don't know. Jordan Shackle's been amazing this year.
And like, I don't think it's a bad take, Wesley, but the only reason I'm still not completely bought in to Utah State. They don't have that like player who can go out and get his own bucket like Sam Merrill was last year and a couple years past.
Yeah.
They don't really have that guy anymore.
Yeah, they need a freshman. What do you mean by that?
Do you mean by someone that can create for their own or someone who can hit a clutch
shot? Basically both.
Like, okay, guard.
I disagree with the clutch shot because I believe Brock Miller can hit a clutch three. I don't think he can create for his own like Sam Merrill could, but they've got guys who can hit threes, and they've also got guys who can take it down low.
Just Brock Miller and Sam Merrill are two completely different caliber of players.
Listen, you're contorting my words.
That's just what I'm saying. I don't think
you could not have taken my words and twisted them more than you did right there. Let's be real with ourselves.
It's twisted like an Arby's curly fries.
I mean, it couldn't have said it.
Some would say.
But this game, Utah State really needed to push off their bench, and Steve Ashworth gave it to him, freshman. Out of in-state recruits, 17 points. Kind of a big for him to step up, given that Justin Bean went 1-for-9 with 4 points in that game. So not a Bean-like performance, and Utah State still got it done. So impressive.
A Bean-like performance. I mean, that's tasteful stuff there, really.
As tasteful as it gets.
It is tasteful. Then we got 7 minutes show. Michigan going on the road to 23 Minnesota. And Michigan whooped this team back in Ann Arbor. However, Minnesota at the Barn is a completely different team. We saw it with Iowa this year, getting beat bad at Iowa, but
crazy
taking care of them at the Barn. I mean,
Minnesota
whooped on them, 75-57. This was just, in my opinion, a bad day for Michigan.
I think it was a reality check for Michigan that they're not, I mean, they're an
incredible
team.
They're not going to
plow through the Big Ten like they were. I mean, they were rolling, and this was a huge reality check. And I think they needed that as a team to not be like, I mean, they play with so much confidence the past couple games, which is a good thing, but you can't get overconfident and cocky with it, which I don't think they were.
Let's not discredit Minnesota, though.
Oh, yeah. Minnesota.
They played an incredible game. Hell of a game for Liam Robbins. Been talking about him for a little while. In the midseason awards episode, last episode with just myself and Alex, I actually nominated him for most surprising player this year.
Could be transfer of the year, too.
Yeah, really could.
100%.
Him and Marcus Carr form a great, like, kind of high-low sort of combo with Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
They're an interesting team this year that I think could go on a decent run in March.
Yeah, they're going to need Booth Gotch to step it up in March if they want to play well. I mean,
dude, I think the key is Gabe Kalscher. Honestly, if he's hitting...
No, Gabe
Kalscher. Gabe Kalscher's not that good on offense, though.
That's what I'm saying. Is he... Last year was a good three-point shooter.
He just fires away.
He's not
away,
been
though.
There this year. He's, if he starts draining threes, though, Minnesota's incredibly scary.
Booth Gotch averaging more than Gabe Kalscher on offense and better field goal percentage on offense. And when Booth Gotch is going, he's actually a pretty fun player to watch.
Yeah, I agree.
But at the same time, Michigan was missing Eli Brooks this game, who would have guarded Marcus Carr. And last time he had guarded him, he locked him down. He locked down Demetri Trice, Wisconsin. When they
However,
Shaundi Brown is good on offense.
And he got the start in place of him. I think Shaundi Brown was Michigan's leading scorer.
Yeah, he was. 14 points, 6 for 12 from the field, 2 of 3 from, or 2 of 5 from deep.
Here's what I'll say about Shaundi Brown. You give him a corner three, he's 100% knocking it down. He is butter from
knock it
threes.
Down, Shaundi Brown. I am 100% aboard. I am the founder and CEO of the Shaundi Brown fan club, by the way. So, Shaundi Brown, great player off the bench for Michigan. He's going to be great down the stretch for him. I mean, and then Franz and Mike Smith just had rough games. 3 for 9 from the field for Franz and 0 for 6 for Mike Smith. Even though Mike Smith is still a good player, finds ways to contribute, had 10 assists that game. But the shooting for Michigan just
wasn't
there.
Yeah, but you can't go 0 for 6 and consider it a good game.
No.
You just can't.
But his 0 for 6 with 10 assists is a lot better than a lot of other people's. And then 8, Creighton goes on the road to Butler. Butler pulled off the upset at home, and Butler's not that good of a team.
So no.
They're
not in overtime.
They're going to be an under 500 team when it's all said.
Mahoney was like the only one that was out there breathing.
I understand that Zegarowski was out this game, and he's your best player.
But still.
But you are playing Butler, who is awful this year.
Yes, very. Terrible team. But Denzel Mahoney did step up this game, granted.
Creighton as a team, let's have a little talk about them. I think they're overrated.
I do as well. They've been in that top 10 spot for weeks.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's been deserving
for whatever reason,
weeks.
Voters just don't want to take them out of the top 10.
And it's kind of...
They had a really close game against Kansas where they almost sent it to overtime. But other than that...
They've had wins, but none like extreme convincing.
None that are going to blow your balls off.
There you go. You heard it here. I don't know. They're not appealing to me. I think they're still a top 20 team.
Oh, easily. But Alex, what are your thoughts on Creighton?
I think they're overrated. Obviously, I'm not big on Zeg this year. I think he needs to play a lot better. Mitch Balick hasn't been looking for his shot that much recently. I mean, Mahoney's been a good piece. Jefferson and Bishop, I mean, they're solid pieces, but they're not going to win you. Or they can't really take over games and allow you to win them. But I don't know. I think Creighton's a little overrated. I'll agree with you guys on that.
Mm-hmm.
They're also in trouble again as we speak to a decent Providence team.
Yeah, but Providence is nothing. They're a solid team.
Sure, but still, when they are a top 10 team.
Yes. You're expected to win.
Yes.
And at the same time, if Creighton's offense isn't going, it's really going to fall apart for them. They have good lockdown defense, but what they kind of feast on is pretty much getting the opponent out of the game right away by making some threes, even if it's early in the second half, kind of running them out of the gym and then getting them on a big scoring drought on defense. And if Creighton's not scoring, they can't do that. And when you're a top 10 team that lets teams hang around in even any Power 5 conference, really, that's going to be scary
for
you down the stretch, because letting Butler get into overtime gives them the confidence they need, even though they aren't that good of a team, and kind of gives them that confidence to pull off the win. So They gotta get back to their ways of getting ahead of the teams earlier. Then we got Kentucky going on the road to Auburn. 66-59 Auburn. Sharif Cooper has been really fun to watch for the Auburn Tigers.
Incredibly fun to watch. Did you guys see his assist that game? Where it looked like he was like throwing it one direction and he literally did like almost 180 degrees the opposite direction.
I did not get a chance to see it.
He's must-see TV.
He's like 6 foot. He didn't even shoot the ball that well this game, but just the way he plays, he's so electrifying. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's electric. That's perfect description.
Love to watch. I think Kentucky needs to start starting Keon Brooks more. This guy has been great ever since he came back. 4-7 with 8 points and 6 rebounds off the bench. I mean, I think and it was only 12 minutes. They got to play him more. He's been getting more production.
It's like Bojanishvili minutes, only 12.
Yeah. They've been getting so much production from Keon Brooks and not like any production from anybody in the starting lineup. That's the difference between them and Illinois. I mean, Illinois has pieces in the starting lineup that can ball. Kentucky not looking that way right now. They need Calipari's got to make some fixes, and quickly he's got to make them quick.
Yeah, they're falling.
Toledo did lose on the road to Akron in overtime. Kind of sad about that. That's my team. But at the same time, hey,
the Zips are happy. It's kind of still your team too, though. So
a little bit, yeah. And hey, I'm happy for my Iowa transfer, Meishi Daly, for succeeding at Akron, hitting the buzzer beater to win in overtime. Buzzer beater three for Akron.
Oh, really? Iowa transfer?
Yeah, he left. Yep. He wasn't very good, to be honest with you. He couldn't shoot the ball, but hey, he shot it there. Big one over Toledo, but I still think Toledo's going to run away with the MAC. Stanford at Colorado. Colorado 77, Stanford 64. Stanford is starting to look all right, but then they ran into a Colorado team that's really hitting their stride.
Colorado is the best team in the Pac-12.
And they're not even that good of a team.
I agree.
Which just shows you how...
People say USC. No, people say UCLA.
I'm not going to say USC after they just lost
to Oregon. You kind of don't have a leg to stand on considering USC just lost to Oregon State, the Beavers. Colorado, I think, is the most complete team.
It's probably Colorado or UCLA. Probably.
That's what I would say.
It's a two-man race.
Or you could put Oregon in there.
You could even put USC in the conversation because that's USC. Really just how bad the Pac-12 is.
Yes, thank you.
But I do kind of like Colorado. What can't you say about McKinley Wright as a player? Really, he's a dog out there.
Well, let's
hustle and hard.
Yeah. Well, let's shift to a very overrated Power Five in the Pac-12 to a pretty underrated conference in the SEC this year, and the team that is rolling through it: Alabama 90, Arkansas 59. Arkansas is a good team to beat them by 31 points. I mean, and Moses Moody played well that game, too, for Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama is rolling. I know Alex on Alabama early. So, Alex, you got any words, any takes for Alabama?
I'll just say, if there are six games on, watch Bama. They are the most fun team to watch in college basketball. It will run you up and down the court. They will dribble, drive, kick, three. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of what Bama does. Nate Oates has got them rolling.
I don't know what happened to John Petty during the offseason because I don't remember him being that good of a shooter last year. But he's like a 50% shooter, making like 3 to 5 a game.
You're talking about from three?
From three. Which is incredibly impressive because I don't remember him being a big shooter last year.
And this is not a bad Arkansas team whatsoever.
No, that's got to be said.
They 30-balled him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's some Zags type.
That's why
right
it's interesting because those two teams play kind of similar basketball. I would say there's differences. I would say Alabama likes to shoot the three a lot more. But they are high scoring teams, fast offenses, and Alabama just blew them out of the water.
You can try and run with Bama, but you're only playing into their strengths. It's not going to work.
Yep. And if you recall what I said last episode about Bama, two unnamed SEC head coaches said that this Bama team reminds them a lot of the Auburn team from 2 years ago that went to the Final Four. They were on record saying that. And so that, you know, that holds a lot of water, really, coming out of two SEC head coaches.
Bama was missing their starting big man, Jordan Bruner, in this game, too. And that just shows you that they have a good bench.
Yeah.
And they have pieces that can come in and score.
And Javon Quinterly didn't even have a good game that game, and he has been pretty good for them.
Yes, absolutely. Quite good, yes.
And when he doesn't have a bad game, they're missing a starter, and they still 30-ball a solid Arkansas team. This is a team to watch out for sure.
Absolutely.
So what seed do you think they're going to get, Alex? You going to make a bold prediction on what seed they're going to get in March?
I can see them as high as a 2 seed.
Are you willing to take the stride, though?
I don't think they're going to finish on 2 line. I see them on the 3 line. I think they're going to continue to roll.
I think 3 or 4
in the
is
SEC.
Pretty accurate. I would maybe lean 4 just because... But I could see them getting a 3. Yeah.
I mean,
2 would be hard.
I mean, they have a top 10 road win over U10. Their losses aren't that bad. I guess they lost to Western Kentucky, who's not that bad of a mid-major.
I mean,
Bassey
just tried.
And let's be real, that's also when Alabama was still kind of getting their feet under them.
That's true. That's a good point. Indeed. They've been rolling in SEC play, though. So
speaking of teams that are rolling, number 2, Baylor, going on the road to 15, Texas Tech, 68-60, takes care of them. Sick'em Bears. I love Baylor. I think they're the best team in the nation. Even though I think Gonzaga deserves to be number 1, but I think Baylor's a better team than them. I think Baylor would have beat them if that matchup did not get postponed.
Man,
because Baylor is the most complete team in the nation, in my opinion.
It's all opinion based, but it's Gonzaga or Baylor. There's really no debate after that for who's the top team in the nation.
Alex, this was your Superdog pick. You had Texas Tech as an underdog in this game.
I thought Tortilla Nation had a chance. They needed either McCullough or Terrence Shannon to step up, and neither of them really did.
Mm-hmm.
McClung played well, and they just didn't get enough from those two guys.
To Texas Tech's credit, though, they actually kept it
close the whole game.
Pretty close most of the game.
Then Jared Butler started to heat up at the end.
Let's be real, though. Jared Butler did not have a good game.
No, but he hit two big shots coming down the stretch.
Yeah, and that was kind of when I tuned into the game, and I saw Jared Butler hit two shots. I was like, oh, it looks like one of those games for Jared Butler. Checked the box score. I was like, those were his first two made field goals of the game. So,
Flagler with 15 off the bench again, though.
Mm-hmm. I mean, man, that's such a key piece for them, too.
Davion Mitchell, Maceo Teague, Jared Butler. I mean, this team is – they have a bunch of dogs, if I'm being honest.
Absolutely.
Offensively and defensively. So I like them to go probably the deepest in March out of, like, any team. So if I had to choose a team that would win it all today, I'd say the Baylor Bears.
Tortilla Nation's a really good team, though. I wasn't huge on them in the beginning of the season, but I will say the more I watch them, the more I like them.
They're also playing in – extremely competitive Big 12, so you can't. It's not like there's not many bad losses.
Nothing to scoff at.
Exactly.
Going back to the Pac-12, I'll side with you that Colorado is better than UCLA by far, because UCLA only beat Washington at home by 5 points.
Washington
have
a win yet?
Yeah, that's because Eric was probably splashed.
Yeah, what did Eric Stevenson do that game? That's what we always need to check when we
four of 11, 11 points.
I mean, hey,
it's a good game.
If you're Eric Stevenson,
I bet.
You take
he got
that
into foul
run.
Trouble, too. He got into foul trouble,
Come
too.
On, Eric. Step your shit up.
Washington's 1-11. You only beat him by 5 points at home. I mean, that UCLA is just not complete enough for me in the Pac-12.
I mean, I've been saying it for a while. Back when it was a hot take, I think Colorado's the most complete team in Pac-tion.
Yeah, absolutely. Then the big night game. 18 Virginia going on the road to 12 Clemson. Virginia kind of took this game by storm. This was never really close.
Alex, do you remember the interesting thing about this game?
85-50.
What?
The fact that Clemson was ranked higher than Virginia.
And they were at
and
home.
And it was at Clemson.
And they were underdogs.
But Virginia was favored. We were looking at that line last episode, and we were like, something just doesn't seem right here. I, for a whole entire minute, didn't even know who to pick. I was like, I don't like either of these teams. Yeah. I ended up picking Clemson. Bad choice, because everything, and I mean everything, was clicking for Virginia.
Yes.
They shot the ball so well.
60%.
That's insane. That is insane.
One thing to note about Virginia, while they're not very good on offense, they got this bench player, Thomas Wolden Tense.
Yep. He's been there for, he's he been was there, there for a little for the bit. Championship run.
I don't know, but he was for sure there last year. Comes off the bench. Talk about a sniper. This guy from three is pretty good.
Yes. That... I do remember that guy for sure from last year.
I'm going to go out there and say it. Clemson might be the biggest frauds in college.
I mean, I've been there for a while.
For being number 12, they're frauds.
Them and Mizzou, when Mizzou was ranked, those were the two biggest.
Mizzou is still ranked.
Are they still ranked?
They are still ranked.
Well,
they're not like 12 like they were before, but they're still ranked.
But at the same time, Clemson's exceeding preseason expectations.
Sure. But that's
but
not how I judge teams,
when you
really
get blown out by Virginia, that's embarrassing.
Virginia's the last team to blow somebody out. The first team to get blown up, too.
Yeah, absolutely. UNI goes on the road to Loyola. UNI is just not good anymore, but Loyola 72-57. I mean, Loyola, who is anybody on Loyola out of the Missouri Valley?
NBC's a tough conference this year, actually.
I'm still Team Drake, have been for quite some time now.
Yeah, it's still Team Drake. What? There can't be.
Team Bradley.
Two, there can't
team
be
Bradley.
Two
good. You're the only person in the world that's on Team Bradley, aside from maybe their mascot.
Well, I'll stick with it.
Well, I don't think it can be. There's no way a two-bit MGC.
No.
Can't.
No, that only not happened back when Wichita State was there.
Yeah.
And they were going like three losses in a season or whatever.
Miami upsets Louisville down in Miami. 78-72, Louisville was ranked 16. Louisville is a really tough team to read this year.
They are.
We kind of talked about this one on the when me and Charlie made the podcast, that Miami's played in a ton of close games. Mm-hmm. They haven't really won many of them, but they got a nice win over a ranked Louisville team.
True. True indeed.
Carlick Jones, though, he had another nice game.
He's so
what
nice.
What was his line that game?
11 of 20, 25 points.
I mean, I swear, every Louisville box score I look at, Carlick Jones has over 15 points.
Yeah,
he's such a consistent. He's such
a consistent
presence.
He needs pieces around him, though, for them to be a scary team.
We get into some WCC action late at night. Gonzaga gets tested on the road at St. Mary's in the first half. In the second half, they ran away with it.
St. Mary's.
But it was...
They covered.
It was 32-25 at half.
St. Mary's, I mean, covered with a 14-point loss. That's so funny.
Yeah. What was the line?
It's probably 17.
It was Zags by 16.
Because I would have said it was 13.
Yeah, you said Zags, 16. And I said, nah, dude, St. Mary's low-key. They play them tough.
I would love a fact check on this line. But 16. 16? All right, you're right, you're right. I'll give you that one. Should have bet on it.
That's hilarious that normally St. Mary's is like a semi-competitive team, and their line is 16 against Gonzaga.
For Zags, it was pretty much only their starters that scored.
That's always most honest. Games other than Nembhard.
I don't know.
Nembhard scores a lot, though.
Yeah, that's about it, though. That's valid. We get into Sunday. Number 5, Iowa, goes on the road to Northwestern. And Iowa's back to their form that they were last year, kind of at the end of the year. And even better, I would say. 96-73, very convincing win. Luka Garza dominates again. He only took 2 shots in the second half. And
I don't think he reached his 20-point total, right?
He didn't even need to. I mean,
the streak was already broken before this.
He had a double-double, and he didn't play like 15 minutes of the second half. And he only shot the ball twice, and they didn't even need him. When you only need Luka Garza to shoot it twice and a half, you're coasting through that win.
Northwestern's just gone cold, guys, since being ranked.
I'm going to be the one to say it. Northwestern was a mirage. All smoke and mirrors.
It's Bob. They're approaching. They're not meme team yet.
No, they're. I don't think they will be a meme
team.
They
won't be a meme team.
But they're not good. I mean, the fact that they were ranked is actually kind of surprising looking back at it now.
For a couple weeks. I think it was 2 weeks they were ranked.
Yeah. I mean, Boo Booey just stinks. Can't buy a bucket out there. He stinks.
He's bad.
Chase Audie has just pretty much just been as bad. I mean, you can't blame the front court here because Pete Nance is doing everything he can. That guy's a dog.
Yeah. Athletic freak. He's a freak.
But at the same time, tough for Northwestern.
I don't know why. Just the most boring name of all time.
I kind of agree with that.
Sounds like you should be an accountant.
Yeah, I think that Illinois game kind of destroyed all of the heart in Northwestern and kind of destroyed their season.
Yeah, they're done. They stink.
Hey, how about Jack Nungy with 12 off the bench that game, though? My boy's back in form.
God, I hate Jack Nungy.
I hate him, too.
Purdue gets another win, 80-72 over Penn State, and Purdue's starting to look like a pretty good team, by the way. Number 11, Houston at home against UCF, 75-58, taking care of business. Houston's sneaky, quietly kind of coasting through. They had that one loss.
Yes.
But at the same time, Houston's looking like a pretty complete team right now.
Even, I mean, they're also ranked like 11. Yeah, so
but nobody's talking about them.
They lost Caleb Mills.
Nobody's
fair point.
And they lost Caleb Mills to Florida State.
Yeah,
but he's not even going to play this year because I think the transfer.
Really?
No. I thought it said.
Dude, the COVID rules though.
I know, but I thought it said like I read an article like we can't wait to have Caleb Mills next year or something. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Maybe.
He hasn't played yet for Florida State, so. See what pans out.
And then 20 Virginia Tech escapes Wake Forest by 4 points on the road. Then we get to the new week. Monday's games, new rankings. UConn moved up 2 spots after not even looking impressive, but they didn't have book night. And St. John's takes care of – St. John's goes to UConn.
The Johnnies, baby.
74-70.
My boy
Alex
Posh.
My
boy Posh.
Posh Alexander.
Posh Alexander, baby. He was absolutely sniping. Yeah, UConn, they need book night.
Period. That's end of story. Yep.
End of story.
However, with book night, they are a very interesting team.
I agree.
Correct.
A cook only with 2 minutes again. I think they really got to start to get a cook going.
I agree.
Well, I mean, they're kind of – taking it really slow with him.
Yeah, that's fair. But
what he's saying. They shouldn't be taking it slow.
I think they should take it a little faster. You got to trust. When the doctors clear him, you got to trust. You got to trust the doctors.
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
We go by science.
And a cook, by the way, is not like he's still like super skinny, but he's like he's hit the weight room. I don't know if you guys have seen the picture.
He was a twig.
But like
he was.
But like comparatively, he's buff a cook. And it's kind of scary to look at. I'm not gonna lie. It's pretty funny to look at.
Tyler Polly was not sniping off the bench this game, only 1 of 6 from 3.
Yeah, and especially when Book Knight's not there, that's not really conducive to a UConn
consistent winning formula.
Indeed. Florida State keeps it rolling 78-65 after they go on the road to Louisville.
I mean, this is, once again, I said it about Carly Jones, just a classic 17-point ho-hum game for him.
If we're talking about an unranked,
so consistent.
If we're talking about an unranked team that has the best chance of making a run, it's
Florida State.
To the finals, it's Florida State, in my opinion. And I don't think it's close.
They're so deep. They play like nine guys a game.
I would need to think about this.
Charlie's going to say Rutgers.
I am I'm putting Rutgers. Rutgers is my unranked team that has the best chance to make a run. Are you kidding me? Tell me how that's wrong. They've got so much experience on their team.
It's either
dealing with injuries.
It's a good argument. It's a good argument. I would still say Florida State.
Florida State, I agree with Florida State, but I said if I had nominated one team, I would nominate Rutgers.
No bias, of course.
The game of the night, though, number 9 Kansas goes on the road, number 2 Baylor. At the end of the game, some Kansas walk-on, I think, hits like a half quarter. That means absolutely nothing, but bad beat.
Bad beat.
By the way. Yeah. Because that allowed Baylor not – that had Baylor not covering when he hit that shot. And it was like – and I don't even care shot. Like, he didn't even really try, it looked like. He just kind of caught it and just
fucked. There's a strong chance that the Mob might absolutely just hunt that man down and kill him. But Jared Butler, absolutely insane. Bounce back game for him. And as far as Kansas is concerned, Christian Brown, 5 for 6 from 3.
He played well.
Yeah.
He played very, very well.
Agbaji had a decent game. But Jalen Wilson struggled.
Yeah, go for it. Me and you need to apologize to Jared Butler. Because when we were talking about who our midseason player of the year would be, we said it's Luka Garza. And then we listed like a couple guys next, and we left Jared Butler off.
Yeah, and
he heard you guys probably.
He probably heard us, and he probably got mad. that's how things work around here. But we didn't not mention him because we didn't think he was worth it. Yeah. It was purely like a slip of the mind. We were like, oh, who are some other people that can contend? And we just like listed off the top of head
kind of thing.
But obviously, if we would have looked further into it, we would have been like, oh yeah, Jared Butler. He's probably, honestly, number 2, aside from Luka
Garza. I would put Kispert at 2, but him probably still.
We did mention Kispert.
Kispert.
There was some statistical analysis, Wesley. I think I sent it to you if you want to pull that up. That showed like a statistical analysis of who's favored to win player of the year and who should win player.
And Garza was 1, Kispert was 2. Away. I think, yeah, Kispert.
But there were four.
I think Kispert definitely deserves to be in it.
There were four Big Ten big guys in the top 12. Luka Garza,
Kofi,
Travion Williams, Trace Jackson Davis, and Hunter Dickinson were all in the top 12 of that statistical analysis. Which is kind of crazy to think about.
We're calling Trace Jackson Davis a big guy now?
Well, I mean, he's a big guy.
He's a physically, like aesthetically speaking, he's a tall guy, but
he doesn't shoot threes. Play. He doesn't play a perimeter game necessarily.
Yeah.
He plays a pick and roll game. He's more active, and he does go in the post, believe it or not. At the same time, Baylor complete team gets the win at home. Or was it on the road?
It was at home.
It was at home. Kansas. It was at home against Kansas. They just keep on rolling. Big win in the Big 12 for them. We get into Tuesday. The Boilermakers keep on boiling. Boiler up, baby. 67-65. Jaden Ivey. And this was at 15 Ohio State, who was looking good, by the way. Yes. Jaden Ivey is going to be very good. We've said it earlier this year.
Yeah.
Alex is really bought in right now. I'm with them. I think other people are with them. Because Jaden Ivey's only a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
And the shot that he hit was so clutch at the end of the game.
Big time.
Every time I watch Purdue, Ivey's always out there making plays. And by the way, I really like this Purdue team, kind of have for quite some time now. With Travion and with Ivy and other pieces stepping up, they're a nice team that, so they're not ranked now, but I believe they should be ranked.
Yes,
I agree. And also something to note in this game, so Sasha Stefanovic, their sniper from deep, he had 15 points, but he only made 1 3.
It was a very clutch 3, though, may I add, at the end of the game.
Yeah, but that's just rare that he scores that many points without like splashing 5 threes.
Yeah, yeah. Ohio State.
The rack a little bit.
Ohio State was up 3, like with 1 minute left in the game, maybe. And Purdue runs play, obviously, they want to get Sasha open for 3. That's their guy. That's a 3-point shooter. Dakota Mathias, Ryan Klein, Sasha Stefanovic, okay? Purdue legacy.
Yes.
And Ohio State just chooses not to guard Sasha. If he's wide open, he is one of the like
deadliest.
He has
highest percentage.
The highest percentage deadliest shooters in college basketball.
Deadly from deep.
And they chose not to guard him. I don't really know what happened. If it was a defensive miscommunication, but if there's a defensive miscommunication there, it should be that two guys are going to Sasha and somebody else is getting open.
Not him being open. That's good.
Yeah. Sasha hits that 3, tie game.
Mental breakdown for them there.
Tie game. Ohio State goes down, turns it over, and then bang. Jaden Ivey.
From deep.
Dagger. But at the same time, Boilers keep rolling. Big win at home in Chomp Chomp Gator Swamp for my Florida Gators. 75-49 over number 6 Tennessee. Florida was looking like they were going down, but they looked really good that game, and they're coming a little bit back up.
I think
they're right coming now, out of the swamp a little bit.
Bama is the only consistent team in the SEC. Swamp.
I'm sorry, SEC's but both these teams are like UTEN's overrated for six in the country. Their offense is not good enough.
Yes.
And Luke, don't even get me started with Florida. They're not that good. They lost to Mississippi State.
So did Missouri.
Okay, Missouri's also Missouri's overrated.
Good. Okay, you can say Missouri's overrated, but you can't say they're not that good. I mean, they're a ranked team at the end of the day, and they have been for how many weeks in a row?
Okay, I'm not big on Florida either.
Kind of a tough stretch for Tennessee as a school the past few days, because didn't something go on with their football program? Like, didn't their coach get caught for putting, like, money in McDonald's bags?
Yeah, he did, and Tennessee, and they cleaned house like you would not believe in football.
And then their basketball team appears to maybe be going downhill a little bit, so
yeah,
prayers up for UTEN.
Trey Mann had a good game for Florida, and at the end of the day, they didn't even have their Michigan transfer, Colin Castleton, their big man. He was out with injury that game, so big win for Florida at home. By a lot of points. Another big bounce back win, 7 Michigan at home, taking on Maryland, who's actually been knocking off Big Ten teams on the road this year.
Yes.
But Michigan, they were dominant this game. They looked like the same Michigan that we've seen all year except for the Minnesota game. It was 87-63. And Juwan Howard, by the way, said that they were looking at old March Madness and old Michigan films to kind of hype them back up for this game. They took it super professionally. And they went out there with that same confidence and that same swagger without arrogance and got the job done.
You know what else they did in their practice, I heard? So I heard that Juwan Howard in practice said, listen, Hunter Dickinson, you kind of, like, you're getting double teamed versus Minnesota. You got to prepare for that. So in practice, every drill they did, they double teamed Hunter Dickinson.
And he shot the ball 3 times this game.
Yeah.
And they did what they needed him. He did what they needed him to do. I mean, exactly. He shot 1 for 3, but he didn't need to be the big piece.
Exactly. Because
if you want to go double Hunter Dickinson, fine. Michigan's got plenty of guys around him that can score the basketball almost even just as well. So it was really mature Hunter Dickinson, the whole Michigan team, and obviously amazing coaching by Juwan Howard yet again. He's got to be the coach of the year.
I think it's undisputed right now.
I saw Rothstein tweet something out the other day about someone who was coach of the year. Was it Nate Oates? I don't know who it was, but he tweeted somehow like
Oates could be up there.
I don't think it was Oates though. I hate that I'm blanking on this. But he tweeted somehow like this has got to be like an undisputed coach of the year candidate.
And it wasn't
Juwan Howard. And I tweeted back and I was like, are you sure you didn't mean Juwan Howard in that? Because right now he's my front runner.
Yeah.
By the way, follow us on Twitter, Maiden March _ between each word.
Absolutely.
Quick plug.
Yeah, big win for Michigan. Bounce back win. Shondy had 2 corner threes that game.
I mean, he's a corner three specialist.
Wet piece. USC.
Knock it down, Shondy Brown.
Knock it down, Shondy Brown. I love that. USC goes on the road to Oregon State and loses. The Beavs just won 2 straight in 2 games they weren't supposed to win. Not a storyline there, but USC was looking pretty decent. But then this game, they just couldn't hang with the Beavs for whatever reason.
Bill Walton was on the call that game.
Was he in prime mode?
And this is not verbatim, but when the game ended, he was like, I am happy that I can tell people that I was there the day the Oregon State Beavers upset USC, the best team in the Conference of Champions. Like, just going so over the top. If you don't like Bill Walton, you have problems.
That's true.
Very fair point.
Cuse bounces back at home, gets a win 83-57 over a Miami team that's been playing a lot of people close. Cuse 8-4. Winthrop stays undefeated against Presbyterian. Toledo gets a bounce back win. 22 Illinois dominates Penn State at home, 79-65. Curbelo played well off the bench. I mean, Kofi had a good game. Illinois
was way too much for Penn State.
Yeah, I mean,
Penn State sucks.
They had no answer.
Yeah, Penn State sucks.
No,
I think they're probably
second worst team in the Big Ten.
No,
Northwestern's still better than them.
Yes, absolutely.
Who's worse than Penn State?
Actually,
besides
you're right. No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, it goes to Nebraska,
Maryland,
Penn State. Maryland's better than Penn State, Northwestern, and whatever it's Nebraska ball.
I mean, yeah, they did start Grandis in this game, too.
What did Miles Dredd have that game? Because we always talk about Miles Dredd when in reality he's kind of a scrub.
He's a huge scrub.
He played 12 minutes and had 6 points.
He's got a cool name. I like the name last
name. Really? No. Mirion really cool Jones. Name. Mirion Jones is Penn State's
player. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Mirion.
Okay.
Mirion Jones with 20 points, 6 for 13 on shooting. Everybody else was really quiet, pretty much.
Penn State is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Good points.
Three Nova. Gets away with the cheap one, thank you to the refs,
and
by the way.
Sped
against
Seton
Hall. Yeah, and
Sandro Mamukelashvili
dropped a wide
was
open
the
ball
most astounded player I've ever seen after dropping one of the easiest passes. It was a full court pass. It was a dime. It was like Aaron Rodgers rolling right, 40-yard flick of the wrist, and this guy dropped it. And
he was right in front of the hoop with one, I know. With like 1.9 seconds left,
and he drops it.
Drops it.
Wait, what like, did he do? I wasn't able to tune in for this game. Was he just like absolutely heated?
He looked like a menace to society. He was on the bench. He was on the bench. He was like, "Come on, bro! Only if I caught that." And he was like banging his hands together. He was like slamming a basketball. he was full prime anger management. Mamukelashvili.
Kind of like MVS, Marquez Valdez Scantling.
A atrocious Packer wide receiver for those that are not Packer fans, but
no, I am not going to compare MVS to Spedned because
Spedned's actually good.
Yes.
That yeah, and Spedned's just like a hothead out there. Like he could drop a pass with like 20 minutes still left in the game, and he would just be beside himself.
This is a good win for Nova though. First time playing in a couple weeks.
27 days, I think it was.
COVID issues, yeah.
Something like that. Something crazy.
Roden and Kale stepped up big for Seton Hall, gave them the opportunity to get the win. But honestly, at the end of the game, the refs did several calls at the end of the game, and frankly. Jay Wright has lost some respect for me for just yelling at the refs. Because he can't yell at his own players. You just got to get the calls. You got to get in the ref's head. Every time the ref makes, like, even a 75-25 call against him, he's in the ref's ear.
Listen, this is why I respect
Jay
Wright.
Jay always does that.
I don't respect
that's what
Jay,
I told you.
Jay always does that.
He always does that.
And he gets calls. Listen, at the end of the day, I'm kind of a results-oriented guy.
That's
you're more
exactly
like a,
what I said to Luke.
I'm
in
a
the
moral
chat.
Guy, though.
Exactly what I said.
I am not a moral guy. I am a winner.
All right.
So
Luke in our chat is like Jay Wright crying to the refs again, and I'm just like, well, he gets the calls, so clearly something's working.
I mean, respect for it working, but if you're a number three team in the nation, you should not need that against a Seton Hall team this year. Just saying.
You just called it a nice win.
It's a nice win over Seton Hall. But they didn't deserve it.
Can't have it both ways.
You can't have it both ways.
I disagree.
It would have been a way worse loss. Unbelievable.
Move on to the air raid.
Making it be... Okay, well, I need to dissect this. If you say it would have been a really bad loss, that doesn't make it a good win. Then when Wisconsin plays Arkansas Pine Bluff, that's not a good win because if they would have lost, it would have been a bad loss.
No, that's not my reasoning.
That's basically what you said. That's no, what I not. Got out of that.
It wouldn't have been a great loss, but it would have been a decent win because Seton Hall has not been atrocious in conference.
Decent,
well,
sure.
Yeah,
but
dude, Seton Hall's a good team.
Yeah, I agree. Ooh. But now they're 9-6 when they should be 10-5.
Why should they be 10-5 again?
Math.
Why should they be 10-5? Why should they be 10-5?
Jay Wright.
the Wright brother. Died.
We're going all around in a circle.
Stupid.
At this point. All
right, well, Alabama 18 on the road at LSU. This was supposed to be a good game, but it wasn't a good game at all.
There was a barrage.
Wesley's NBA Jam.
Answers, Wesley,
about
LSU.
What do you mean, what answers? Oh, I have none other than Alabama's the best.
You might
want to
list
team.
Off the final score for the
105-75. Bama hung 60 on the
first
half.
Bama pulled all
their
starters with like 6 minutes left.
So. They made 23 three-pointers.
They were 23 for 43 from beyond the arc.
And it was the percentage. They were shooting 70% from three in the first half.
And then they put in their scrubs kind of.
John Petty was 7 for 7 from three in the first half. All you need to know.
How about Javon Quinterly, 6 for 7 from deep with 22 points?
And who's that other? They had another guy that was like 6
Joshua
or 7.
Joshua Primo.
Joshua Primo was 6 yep. of 8 from
he
three.
Was, Primo was Primo. Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. I don't know what
to Bama was just the wet show out there. They just could not miss. They physically could not miss out there.
There were three guys that if you combine their percentages, it was probably like an average of 78-80% from three. It was
absolutely wild.
Incredible stuff right there.
Cam Thomas even played a decent game, but it didn't really
matter. LSU didn't even like that
whole game
that
was
bad.
Garbage time for LSU.
It was
so.
Garbage
yeah,
time.
Yeah, true. Utah State wins big over Colorado State at home, and Pitt wins at the Zoo against Duke. And that's a Duke with Jalen Johnson, who had a great game, by the way.
Thoughts on Pitt, Luke?
I love Pitt.
I hate
dude,
Duke.
I love Pitt.
Really?
Justin Champagne had 31 points
yeah,
and
Justin
14.
Justin Champagne's a beast. I would say that.
Something to note about this game, though, Duke was favored by 4. That's the easiest line of all time. Coach K is just done.
Yeah. Duke is almost 500. Imagine Nine Kentucky four. And Duke being under 500. Man, would we have some complaining going on from Calipari.
And Audis Tony. He's a great guard for Pitt. He controls the game. He can get running. He had 22 that game. I mean, 22
points.
Pitt's
going to make the turn?
11 boards. I do think Pitt's going to make the turn.
You think they can make some noise?
I don't know if they're
going to make noise. At this point, say Pitt making the tourney.
Is that a bold prediction, Caliber? Because I will make that prediction.
I would be willing to certify that as a bold prediction.
Pitt and the Zoo are going to Indianapolis.
Indy bound, according
Indy to Indy bound.
We will see how they'll hold up against ranked ACC teams. We'll see how that rolls.
It's true, but that was Duke at full health, too, and that's not even that bad of a
that's
team.
That's a stinky Duke team. I want to see him against Virginia Tech, Florida State.
All right.
The better likes.
All right, ACC.
Clemson?
Clemson maybe. Is about to be unranked because getting into today's game, 20 Clemson loses on the road at the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech.
How are they still ranked after that just demolition?
Was that before the rankings came out?
Yeah, that was on Saturday against Virginia.
You're right, but it was against Virginia, so that's... They dropped from 12 to 20.
They should have dropped out, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. That's pull inertia at its
finest. A little bit. I don't know. They were 9-2 after that game?
Sure, but it's more of an eye test sort of thing.
Now, for sure, after I think it was that Monday loss that they had, they should for sure be out. I think whatever day it was that a Tuesday loss that they had again? They should be out.
Amir Sims was the only player for Clemson tonight. Nobody else did Jack Swat.
Frauds.
They're frauds.
Yes. Yeah. Say it with me.
Indeed. Georgia pulls it out at home against Kentucky. Kentucky's now 4-9. Alex and Wesley's position is looking better.
Georgia only won by one.
Yeah, Georgia hit
but a go-ahead bucket.
Georgia hit a go-ahead bucket with like 0.5 on the clock, I think.
Gotta be kidding me.
Or not point. It might have been earlier. But at the same time, well, at least B.J. Boston finally found himself today.
B.J. Boston play well. He played well. He's moving up from a gum chewer to a saltine cracker dipper in soup. That's what he's moving on to.
He ceased his job duty of just chewing gum on the bench and decided to step it up. What was his line that game?
9-for-17 with 18 points, 7 boards.
Okay.
Solid line.
Very respectable. Well, how about from senior Boston?
Keon Brooks in double figures again off the bench for Kentucky. I'm not sure. We don't have that stat yet.
Okay,
game ended very recently. Another game that ended, Providence and David Duke upset 11 Creighton on the road.
Good work, Providence.
Nate Watson, though, with 29.
Way too much to handle for Creighton.
He's a big dude.
Like Christian Bishop,
big man.
Who is probably their biggest guy, is not big enough to guard Nate Watson.
I think Nate Watson looks like a left tackle. He's like 270.
And Denzel Mahoney was really stinky tonight, 1-for-10.
He stunk. Same with Alex O'Connell off the bench, 0-for-5.
Yeah, just... And even Zeg was 4-for-11. That's decent, but it's not his best night.
That's what we've honestly been accustomed to this year from Zeg.
He's a 33% shooter this year, which is bad.
David Duke.
That's like almost Eric Stevenson.
When you lose to Providence and David Duke goes 2-for-11 with only 12 points, and you lose to a Providence team,
there's some inner problems.
There's problems. And Creighton stonks are absolutely down right now. Is that the second game they dropped in a row
to
unranked team? Speaking of unranked teams, how about the stud team out of the A-10 this year, the Bonnies, getting it done 70-54 at home against a decent VCU team? They're down 40-25 at half. Bonnies outscored VCU in the second half 45-14.
We haven't really talked about the Bonnies much on this podcast.
Correct.
But I know through group chat, you have been a huge St. Bonaventure supporter. Is there any bold prediction that you'd like to make about them or no?
I mean, it's tough. They are sitting at the top of the A-10 right now. They're first in the A-10. SLU is there, though, and I think SLU ultimately wins that tournament. But I think that the Bonnies will get into March.
At large?
We'll get in at large in March.
A-10 is going to be a 2-bid, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It'll be a multiple bid.
Maybe 3.
Richmond, I think SLU, maybe Bonnies.
I think the Bonnies are going to make the tournament. They already beat Richmond.
That's a bold prediction.
I'm willing to put that as a bold prediction.
I agree. Bonnies making the tournament.
See, Bonnie Ventures.
I mean, they just scored VCU 40-14 in the second half after being down 15 and a half. That is a team with heart. That's a team with character and hustle. Gotta love the Bonnies. What a great name, by the way. Can't not root for them. Right now we got Auburn up 12-6 on Arkansas. That game's in action. Arkansas's at home that game. Colorado's taking on Washington.
Stevenson is 0-for-3 to begin the game, but it's still early.
He'll get it going. Maybe a 2-for-9.
He's always been a second half player.
Absolutely.
Willing to cut him some slack.
We got Northwestern at 10 Wisconsin. Wisconsin was just up 44-39. It is now 49-39. Wisconsin's up 10. Northwestern really needs that one. They got to come back and win.
And they're really not going to get it.
That's pretty much the games for tonight. Then we get into tomorrow night. USC goes on the road to Stanford. USC is favored by 3.5. You guys got USC in this one to cover?
No.
I like them to cover in this one.
I hate picking Pac-12 basketball. It's so boring.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. I'm not going to pick.
All right. Well,
Protest against Pac-12. Well,
what's the line again?
3.5 for USC.
Stanford.
Take Stanford. All right.
Stanford to cover or win outright?
I mean, I'm just going to take Stanford. Whatever they do is going to be.
Yeah. Whatever happens.
The trees. Rutgers getting a chance to bounce back on the road at Penn State.
They will.
I think it's going to be closer than people expect.
Really? Because what do the people expect? What's the line?
None. We don't see a line on ESPN right now.
That's truly.
Pick percentage is 57% Penn State, 43% Rutgers.
So it's going to be a pick'em game. Maybe Penn State will even be.
I can't believe Penn State has more picks on the ESPN.
Don't fall into that trap because Penn State is not a good team.
That's based on BPI, Wesley. That's not people are picking.
But still,
yeah, that's.
Come on. I misinterpreted that.
You really did.
I for sure punted on that, but I still can't believe, even in a BPI setting, that Penn State is favored.
BPI is fraudulent. If anything, 100%. That makes me more confident in Rutgers.
Fair.
Indeed.
Very respectable.
We got Indiana going to number 4 Iowa in Iowa City. Indiana has always given Iowa some problems, I'm not going to lie. So, and Iowa's favored by 10.5. I like Indiana to cover. I don't think Iowa loses, but I think it's going to be close.
Huge disagree.
I disagree as well. There's no way Indiana's offense can even keep, like, remotely keep up with Iowa. Well,
can anybody get Norman Harris on that team? I don't think so.
No, Iowa will cover, and I think they will cover easily.
I would agree with that.
Iowa's winning this game, and they're just don't even look back on that. I think they'll probably cover as well, though.
All right. Well, yeah, everybody thinks they'll win. It's just a matter of if they're caught.
Yeah,
cover.
Saying they're going to win this is not a hot take of any sort.
It's quite warm. Offense. Quite warm.
Quite warm. We got Colorado State at Utah State. Then we got Arizona going on the road to the most disappointing team this year, Arizona State.
Man, it's Arizona State. Remember when they were 18th in the country?
Yeah.
No, they're under 500.
Arizona State's going to beat them.
Arizona's going on the road to Arizona State?
Yeah.
Do we have a line on that one?
Arizona 2.5.
Yes.
That's an interesting one.
Well, Arizona State doesn't have the curtain, the free throw curtain.
I don't know if Remy Martin is active,
I would take Arizona State to win, and obviously since they're not favored, that would mean that they cover.
I agree.
Arizona State sucks. Yeah. This is a game I'm not concerned with. I'm not gonna pick just because.
Well, that doesn't help the fans who are looking for gambling advice, does it, Luke?
All right, well...
If you're betting on Pac-12 basketball, I put
your money on Arizona.
You think you're down bad?
I think you're down bad.
Put your money on Arizona.
You might want to reconsider where you're...
Where your money's
putting
allocated.
Your money. Yeah, where you're allocating your money here.
7, Michigan goes on the road to unranked Purdue. I think Michigan gets the better of this one. I think...
This is on Friday, correct?
We got Dickinson versus Travion Williams. That'll be a treat in itself, in my opinion. But honestly, I think Michigan's too complete for Purdue.
What's the word on Eli Brooks?
He's playing.
He played last game too.
Yeah, he's game. He was game to game.
I'm gonna hit you with a hot take. Boiler up. Give me Purdue in that game. I love the way they
play.
Man,
Travion Williams
at home.
I know, and Trey Williams too. Oh,
I think it's gonna be close, but I'm gonna have to roll with Michigan in this one.
Yeah, I actually like Michigan by about 15 points in this one. To be honest,
wow.
I think Michigan covers whatever the line is.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick Michigan this one as well. I would love to see 30 points from Mr. Williams against Hunter Dickinson.
Well, yeah, Travion, I mean, that guy
is a fun guy to watch.
Unbelievably fun to watch. Then don't really have too many other good games that night. So that's prior to the weekend. That'll be Friday. So
that just about wraps up
the game to look forward to.
All right. We hope we gave you guys some sound gambling advice on this podcast. That's kind of what we try to do. You know, we point out the lines. Give you an idea of who to pick. We should start keeping track of our records, like against the spread. I think that would be interesting to do.
That would be interesting. Yes.
Yeah. Anyways. I like that.
Also, just a note, this is going to be Luke's last podcast.
Not
for
last.
A little bit. For a while.
I'll be back.
We know there's a lot of Luke supporters out there.
Yeah.
A lot of people love Luke.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be a
My takes have been on this year too, to be honest.
Debatable.
No, not debatable.
Highly debatable.
Highly debatable. Some are saying that that's
when you like debatable. When you like 95% of teams, then yeah.
You fire
your
shotgun,
takes are gonna
no. No.
You're a numbers guy, Luke. Yeah, it's fine. Exactly. You can admit it, you're a numbers guy. I'm not.
Alright,
listen, I don't want to be smirch
some unnecessary slander for Luke at the end of the podcast.
on your last episode, but yeah, you'll be gone for what, about a month and a half, maybe 2 months?
About that.
Yeah.
See if I can sneak one in.
Yeah, we await the countdown, and we're going to be glad to have you back on whenever you can.
It's going to be relatively spontaneous. You will be hearing from me in March, don't worry.
Oh, absolutely. We can guarantee that.
Yeah.
And until next time, this is Made in March.